Okay. We're holding on Yud Chesed Aleph, three lines from the top. Okay, so we started the discussion yesterday that the Yud Chesed Aleph. Yud Chesed Aleph, yes. We started talking about yesterday the concept that you have to write a date in a get, and we talked about the reason why. We talked about Rabbi Yochanan's reason, Shemi Yechata Abasa Choisei, that the husband may try to cover for his wife to try and hide the fact that she was Mizana while married by pretending that he divorced her before that, and therefore he has to give her a get that has a date on it and where it can't be predated. And then we had the reason that Rosh Lakish said. We had the reason that Rosh Lakish said having to do with Peiris, that the husband is not entitled to Peiris from when the get is written, and therefore you need to know the date when the get was written, and that brought us into the discussion of when exactly does my husband lose Peiris, which we're going to continue with that topic today. We were in the middle of discussing then the question that given that you have so we talk about a couple of irregularities of the get involving the date, which nevertheless are still okay. So how does that work? One of them we said was, what about the situation you have where b'dieved a get without a date is kosher, the child's not considered a mamzer. So how does that fit with the sakana? And the answer is that no sofer dayanim is going to write such a get. It's only kosher b'dieved.
But I mean, it's not kosher.
No, it means b'dieved. If it is written, if you do find a sofer who's going to write such a get. And find the agent who are going to sign it, and it will be kosher, but to the extent, not the extent that l'chachila she can marry with it, but to the extent that if she got remarried, the child's not going to be considered a mamzer. We talked about what about...
Good question. I was thinking about that. If there is a suspicion of snus, and there is no date,
yeah,
then is get kosher or not kosher?
No, so that's what we're saying. So that was the discussion we had yesterday about the case. We talked about yesterday, not the case where there was no date, but the case where the date was cut off. Where Rashi in Yevamos implies that if the date is cut off, it means automatically on that basis we assume that she was Mizana once.
No date.
If there's no date at all, then okay, you don't have any evidence to be able to convict her on.
There is still suspicion that she's...
There may be suspicion, but it's still that doesn't change anything. It's still, yeah. Then we talked about what about the situation where you didn't write an exact date in a get, you just wrote the year or the number of the Shemitah cycle or whatever, and still at least you're accomplishing something.
And if there's a mistake in the date.
If there's a mistake in the date, actually, when a lot of questions in the Shiloh Torah literature revolve around such things where the date was wrongly written. Is it considered a get muktam? Do you have a situation where now it's considered a predated get? By the way, there's also a discussion. There's also a machlokas among the Rishonim. What about a post-dated get? Is that kosher? You have the Rambam holds a post-dated get is possible. The Raivad holds it's kosher. And Tosfos holds it's kosher, but only as of the date when that's written in it. If you have a get, meaning if you have a get that was written in Tevis, but dated Shvat, we don't consider her to be, it doesn't take effect, even if it was given. She's not divorced, still Shvat, yeah. Anyway,
if she writes only the year,
it doesn't come. So it's only the year. I mean, sometime during that year, yeah.
It's a schmuck.
Yeah, okay.
One way is a get that is written. And my husband said, I'll give you a get a month's time or 2 months' time.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that was actually the last case.
Is that legal?
Yeah, anything is legal. Yeah, I don't know. Look, we're going to have cases later on in the Masechta. We're going to have cases where the husband gives her a get now and says that's only going to take effect 12 months from now. Fine. So you have, yeah. Okay, the last thing we had talked about yesterday was what about if the person wrote the get ahead of time, figuring right now I'm quarreling with my wife. We may or may not make up. Meanwhile, I'm writing the get so that it has a date on it. And then it's sitting in his pocket for a month or 2 months or whatever. What happens then as far as this whole business? And we said a person doesn't usually do that. Okay. So, Amalei Ravina the Ravashi. So Ravina says to Ravashi, here's another case. Gittin up the third line of your Chesed Aleph. Yeah. Gittin up going to Medina Sayyam. What about if you have a get that comes from Medina Sayyam, from overseas? The Michtav of Nissen v'lei Matrat Tishrei. The get may have been written in Nissen, for example, but it doesn't reach out to Israel and be delivered until Tishrei. So again, you can ask, Mahari the Chacham v'Takanasim. In that case, what did the Chacham accomplish by saying that a date has to be written in the get? It doesn't come out to Israel until Tishrei. So whether you're talking as far as Peiris or as far as Nus, either way, how does it help? The date in it is going to be written in Nisan, but it didn't go into effect in Tishrei. So he answers him, Hanu Kolei. That's true, but And when a get comes from a dinas hayam, there is a koil about it. It becomes a well-known thing that it wasn't delivered on the date that it was written. And therefore, there's a koil about it that people know that, yes, even though the date on it is written nissen necessarily, because that's when it was written, I'm fine, but nevertheless, they know that it only went into effect in Tishrei. Tanhu means they. Tanhu, these, or they, or these, have a koil. So therefore, yes, so as a matter of fact, actually, Rashi says, she will have to bring a raya. If she wants to claim payrus for those 6 months, for example, she's going to have to bring proof that the get was only delivered in Tishrei, and she'll be able to do that because such things have a curl. Which brings the Mefarshim into the question: are we talking about it has a curl because it came from a dinas hayam, or are we talking about because it came through a shliach? In general, so in other words, the question becomes: if you have in general a get that's brought through a shliach, does that have more of a curl than a get that's just handed from husband to wife? Also, they talk about that maybe only in this case, because you really don't have any choice. I mean, after all, it's going to take time to deliver it from Chutz La'aretz to Israel. Well, maybe we wouldn't generalize from that to other cases where it is possible to deliver it right away. So before we leave this topic, and the Gemara is going to go on to a related topic, Tosfos asks the question: if we're set, mainly if we say the reason is because of Peiros, the Shlokish's reason, that applies in all times. Everyone, she has nifkin alur, which fine, on average she tends to. But if you're talking about, according to Rabbi Yochanan's reason, Shemi Yechapa al Basa Chosei, that he may want to save his wife, who's also his niece, from the death penalty. So when there's no Sanhedrin given the death penalty, what do you need a date and a get for? So Tosfos gives three reasons. Number one is, first of all, there's the fact that you may have your Bona Bismethish. We look forward to the Bismethish is going to be built, it's going to be rebuilt, there's going to be a Sanhedrin again, so we need to have the Takana in place.
But when there's
a reason for the Takana and the reason falls away, sometimes the Takana does also. Classic example is the fact all over Shas, we know the concept that you're not allowed to drink water or other liquids that were left uncovered because snakes may have come and drunk from it. We learned a few weeks ago, actually, about a woman who was Ben Yayada talked about a case of a woman who was afraid to tell her husband a snake drank from this pitcher of milk, and he drank it and died. Well, I said nobody's nizir in that nowadays. Why? Because snakes aren't common where most people live. So therefore, we have an example where the reason falls away, and therefore the takana falls away.
No, but that's an everyday.
Fine, but it's still okay. So anyway. So one reason is because Meheri Yibon Amikdash. Another reason, I'm giving the reasons out of order, actually. Tosfos's first reason is because it's not just a matter of that he may want to hide the fact that she was Mizana and therefore Chayiv Misa. Fine, nowadays there's no Chayiv Misa. But he also may want to prevent the children from being declared Mamzer. That exists even nowadays. Number two is the reason Meheri Yibon Amikdash. And number three, what about, for example, he may try to use it to claim that she wasn't Mizana while she was married to me. She was Mizana only after we got divorced. Therefore, I'm allowed to remarry her. Where we know that if she was Mizana during the marriage, we know she's also Kayim, as we learned in Soita, and we learned back in Yevomis, Kashem Shasur Labal Kachasur Laboyal, that she becomes also to her husband, and he's never allowed to remarry her. So for all those reasons, the reasons still exist. Okay. Ishmael, so now the Gemara says they had another discussion. We know we learned in Yevomis a great deal about the idea that when a woman is divorced or widowed or what have you, she has to wait 3 months before she can remarry, and we talked about over there the idea of hachana, the idea that in case she's pregnant, you want to know whether she's pregnant from her first husband or her second husband. From what date involved with a get do we start counting those 3 months? Rav Omer Mashas Nesina, or Shmuel Omer Mashas Ksiva. Rav says from the time it's given to her, which is when it actually goes into effect. Shmuel says from when it's written.
Let's
go through the Gemara.
Rav,
we can understand. It only takes effect. The get was written this week. It's delivered next week. So it only goes into effect. Yes, the Mashas Nesina is logical. Yeah, so wait. Let's see. Okay. Mask for Rab Nathan Bahoshi or Shmuel. So Rab Nathan Bahoshi asks, you could argue, let's say that fine, you could argue once the get is written, then they're not going to be alone together anymore. The whole point is we assume, as we said before, that once a husband writes a get, he means that he's going to go through with it. He's not going to keep it in his pocket for any length of time. So therefore, it's logical to say that once the process of writing and signing it has begun, then at that point there's no possibility that they've reconciled and that she'll become pregnant. Fine. But Rav Nosson Bahusha asks, according to Shmuel, Yoimru, let's imagine the case that you have Shtei Noshim B'chotzer Achas. Let's say you have one man married to two wives, which of course was allowed before Chayim Dvar Menageshim. Now, suppose that he decides to divorce both of them on the same day, but he has two gittin written out. One is written out in Tavis, one is written out in Shvat. And he winds up delivering them both in Shvat. So people are going to wonder, why is one mutter 2 months later? Why is one mutter ready to be married in Nissan 2 months after Shvat, and the other one has to wait until Iyar 3 months after? And it's going to look odd. Abaye says that's not such a big deal. Zuzman gitim echiyach aleh. Very simple. People can look at the actual get, see the date on it. Yes, people will see one get is dated Tavis, one get is dated Shvat. Fine, no big deal. People will understand why. It's not going to look like a chuchavei fula. It's not going to look like the whole takana of 3 months of the joke. People will understand that according to Shmuel that you do mashach tziva. They're going to understand that you can look at the date and then determine it that way. So Tanya Kavasei to Rav, Tanya Kavasei to Shmuel. We actually have a braisa that agrees with Rav and a braisa that agrees with Shmuel.
Why do we say according to Shmuel it's shach tziva when? I mean, according to Rav, it's Shastina, but we said that the husband loses his peres as soon as the get is written.
That's what we actually talked about yesterday, and we're going to talk about it in the Gemara again today. At what point does the husband lose peres? We said yesterday that Rav Yochanan holds that the husband actually is entitled to peres until the get is delivered.
Right.
So therefore, there's no downside for him in having the get written with you, except for the fact that we said yesterday that a person would rather not move up the purunus, the bad situation. But nevertheless, it's good.
Okay. So the get takes effect when it's delivered, but the peres are lost when the get is written.
No. Again, according to Rav Yochanan, the peres are lost only when the get is delivered.
According to Rav Yochanan.
According to the Shlokish, we talked about whether, according to the Rabbanan versus Rav Shimon, whether it's lost from the writing of the get or from the signing of the get.
Right.
But yeah, okay. So we have a braisa like Rav and a braisa like Shmuel. Tanya Kavasei Rav, it goes as follows: Hashliach get li. So if someone sends a get to his wife, and Ishta Hashliach Baderach Gimel Chadashim, the Shliach is delayed for 3 months down the road. She gear get li Yada Tzuchel Hamdan Gimel Chadashim. So when the get reaches her, she's going to have to start waiting a fresh 3 months over there, because again, Rav is saying that you measure that you go Meshach Nesina from when the get is delivered. So the get was written in Tavis. The Shliach didn't make it there till Nissan. We don't say from Tavis to Nissan is 3 months, so therefore we're good. No, she has to wait another 3 months from the Nisina, which took place in Nissan.
That's right.
And another detail the Bryce adds, by the way, is in this case, you do not have to worry about the situation of get yoshen. Get yoshen literally means an old get. We're going to talk about it a great deal later in the Masechta and in the Ayin, but basically what it means is that if the get is written, and afterwards, the husband and wife were in Yichud together at any time, then the get is possible. It's called get Yasha. It's called an old get. And the reason for it is, the Gemara discussed over there, Rashi brings it over here, because what happens, you could have, let's say, if they're in Yichud, they may end up actually having relations. Later on, she'll turn up pregnant. Eventually she's going to have the baby, so she became pregnant again, hello, between when the get was written and when it was delivered. People are going to say, in that case, she got divorced first from her husband, and now this child, okay, he's not a mamzer because you're not married anymore, but still, she was mizana. So there's going to be a pagam on the baby. So to avoid that, No, it doesn't matter whether her husband or somebody else. Either way, she's a penuria. But the point is, people are going to think that she was mizana, and there's going to be a stigma on the baby. So because not actual mamzeres, but a stigma. This is why the chachamim passed such a get. The get. People are going to think that the get came before the child. Because after all, people are going to look at the date on the get. The date is several months earlier. What we're saying is, in this case, when the shliach was when it's not the fault, it's not the husband wrote the get, and then at some time after that he temporarily reconciled with his wife and they were together again, and now he wants to reuse that same get. We're talking about the case. The shliach was delayed for 3 months on the road. So in other words, Tosfos explains what the Braita is telling us is, even though she has to wait 3 months after the get is delivered, the reason is not because of the problem of get yoshan. The reason is because of the svara that we said before. You don't want people to get confused when the 3 months begin. Like this, you say it's Meshach Nesina, so that's a defined thing. When there's Edim that it was delivered. Okay, so that's Rav's Braita. Tanya Kavase to Shmuel. Then we learn a Braita that agrees with Shmuel, which says Hamashlish get leishto. If somebody deposits the get for his wife with a third party, so he says, I'm going out of town. I want you to arrange for the delivery of this get, but only 3 months from now. So meanwhile, it's in this third party's hands for 3 months. And he tells him, he says, don't give it to her until after 3 months. Whatever the reason, might this gets back to what you asked before, Yaakov, that can you give a get and say it'll only take effect months from now? This is exactly what he's doing over here. Anyway. So muteresli nothing yad. So if it was 3 months, then she's allowed to marry right away. And again, we'll get yoshan right away after she gets the get delivered to her after the 3 months are up. Well, the get is at, which is exactly what Shmuel is saying, that you go mizman ksiva, you go from the date that it was written, and it was written 3 months ago. And again, we'll get yoshan ein choshish. And again, we're not worried about the situation of get yoshan that they may have been in yichud in between. Charei lenas yachadim, because the fact is he wasn't in yichud with her during those 3 months; he was out of town. So the first braisa, when we said leget yoshin ein choshishin, meant to say, like Tosfos said, that even though theoretically it is possible they could have been in yichud together, the fact is we're not concerned about that because we have no reason to think in the first case that they were in yichud together. Nevertheless, we're making her wait 3 months from when it was delivered, which is 6 months from when it was written, not because of the situation of get yashan, but just because we don't want people to be confused about when it takes effect, when the 3 months start from. That was the first braisa. In the second braisa, when we're saying get yashan ain't choshin, it means exactly that. And we know for a fact the husband wasn't in yichud with her because he delivered the get to he gave the get to this third party and told him, I'm going out of town. You give it to her in 3 months from now. So therefore, we know there can't have been any yichud in between. Okay, so what's the bottom line?
I mean, they make a plan to go against it. The get should be delivered in 3 months.
Why do they need to? If the husband wants it to be delivered in 3 months, it can be delivered in 3 months. There's no reason to make a plan against that. Okay, so what's the bottom line? Rav Kahana, Rav Papi, Rav Ashi, Avdi, Meshach Ksiva. So these three Amiroyim went according to what Shmuel says, that they counted from the time of writing. So even though it was written now and delivered 3 months from now, they would say, fine, in that case, there's no more time of hachana needed. She can be married right away. They did according to Rav, that you go according to the time it was delivered, which means that in that case, you'll need another 3 months. The halacha is like Shmuel, that we go according to the time of the writing.
Let me ask a quick question over here. Is there any law as far as how quick after lady
we go like Shmuel?
They're like an alley?
That's what we're just talking about. We learned in Yevamos a great deal about that after a woman is divorced or widowed or what have you, she has to wait 3 months in order that if she's pregnant, we'll know.
Maybe perhaps the husband wants to be in effect as much as he thinks sure.
Maybe, whatever it is, the point still remains. Okay, so if we say, now, so when we say everything with Hilchos HaMishas Ksiva, it's not so simple, actually. The Rif and then following him, the Rambam, indeed have this Girsa and Paskin according to Shmuel, that Mishas Ksiva. There are a number of other Rishonim who apparently didn't have that Girsa, and they say, wait a minute, usually what we say, that's the thing. There are a number of Rishonim that object. That usually we have the rule is that when you have a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, then when it comes to dinim of Isur the Heter, the halacha is like Rav. When it comes to dinim mamonis, the halacha is like Shmuel. This is Isur the Heter we're talking about. Therefore, the halacha ought to be like Rav. And therefore, there are indeed some Rishonim who pass him like Rav. They don't have the gears of the Hilchos HaMishas Ksiva. On the other hand, an argument against that is even if the Gemara doesn't explicitly say Hilchos HaMishas Ksiva, let's look at the names we have over here. Rav Kahana and Rav Papi and Rav Ashi are the next generation after Rav Papa and Rav Hona Bredi of Yeshua. Usually, the rule is from the time of Abaya and Rava and on, the usual rule is Hilchos HaKabasroi. The halacha is like the later authorities because they knew of what the earlier ones said and they disagreed with it. So in that case, on that basis alone, the Gemara would seem to be saying the halacha is like Shmuel.
Okay.
And fine, again, according to the Rif, we actually have the Girsa over here, the Hilchos of Mishat Ksiva, that Halacha is like Shmuel, and therefore that's that. Interesting thing, by the way, Rav Chanan Wasserman points out, usually we would think that it comes out that Rav's position is more of a Chumrah, because you have to wait three months from after it was delivered, and it may have been delivered months after it was written. But he points out there can be a situation where actually Shmuel's opinion comes out to be more of a Chumrah. We talked about yesterday that a get, even though a get is supposed to be precisely dated by the day of the week and the day of the month and the year, it doesn't have to be. In principle, if a get is written just with a year on it, let's say, it's kosher. As we said yesterday, because at least it helps that this way, if she was Mizana last year, then we know we can get her on it. So therefore, you can have imagine you have a situation where a get is written just with the year Tosh and Ayin Vav on it. It's delivered sometime during the year. It's delivered, let's say, in Tevis. But then you have a Chumrah, because Tosh and Ayin Vav could mean Elul. It could mean it only was written and delivered in Elul. And therefore, according to Shmuel, you'd have to start counting the 3 months only from Elul Tosh and Ayin Vav. Whereas according to Rav, you could go Meshach Nesin, it was delivered in Tevis Tosh and Ayin Vav.
So what do we do in that case?
Garnished. I mean, if we say that halacha is mashas ksiva, then it means whether the kula or the chumra. If we say according to the Rishonim that the halacha is like rab mashas nesina, then good. Then you'll get a break. Okay. Itzmar. Now the Chachamim had another discussion. Me'emes ha'ksuba mashametes. At what point does this is going to be relevant to the issue also of a date on a get. Mishametes is Shmitas Ksofim. We know that if you lend somebody money, then at the end of Shmitah, that debt is canceled, and actually there's an opinion in Rishonim that even from the beginning of Shmitah already you're not allowed to demand repayment, which is why the Alter Rebbe brings both opinions in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Halvah, and that is why we make a proof both at the beginning of Shmitah year and at the end of it. At the end of it, because that's when it fully takes effect and the Chayuv is lost. A Prusbul we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. We're going to get extended. We're going to have a whole discussion about how Hillel was attacking the Prusbul in the first place. Let's set that aside. We'll get back to it in a few weeks, Bez Hashem. Right now, Minat Torah then, everybody agrees that Minat Torah, the debt is only canceled at the end of Shemitah year. Miketz Sheva Shanim Tasa Shemitah. There is an opinion among Rishonim, though, that says that what it is from the beginning of Shemitah year, you're not allowed to be teveya, the debt. You're not allowed to demand repayment. But the debt itself is still in effect, meaning, I guess, if you were to make a prusbul during that year, for example, or whatever, then, or if the person, whatever. No, it's not the same. There's a difference between whether you can demand repayment versus whether the loan is completely canceled. So therefore, according to that, this is why we make a proof both at the beginning of Shemitah year and also at the end of Shemitah year.
I mean, if you still can demand the debt, if the debt is not canceled until the end of the year, but from the beginning of the year you're not allowed to
demand it, that helps that you can still make a proof both, though. Okay, anyway. Great. Okay, so now let's deal with the question like this. We know when a woman is divorced, she's entitled to collect her ksuba. At what point, me'emes ha'ksuba mashametes, at what point does the ksuba payment become subject to Shemitah and get canceled by Shemitah if there's no prusbul? Rav omer m'shitif goyim b'tizkoif. So Rav says you need two things. Number one, you need that she gets some of the ksuba payment paid to her. This is called that she's poigimit, because now it's like poigim, there's like a flaw in it. Instead of the full 200 zuz or whatever the amount was, now she's only going to be getting less than that. That's tifgoyim.
And then you can collect according to Rav.
Wait, 1 second. So the point is like this, Rav is saying, you need two things. There's tifkoim, and number two, v'tizkoif. And number two, that she declares the rest of it to be as if it was a loan. How that's accomplished is a bit of a machlokas we're showing about that. The Rosh says, for example, once she's gone to Beis Din and they've ordered him to pay, is I think what he says. So that then it's considered zok for all of the mill, but then it's called that it's become that's been transformed into a loan. There's different other opinions that are showing him, but anyway. So Rav says you need both. You need tifgoim because that shows that it has to be not necessarily. I don't know if necessarily, whatever. Anyway, tifgoim accomplishes that. At this point, we know that she's about to demand the collection of the rest of it. Mela, if she's not demanded anything, we learned in ksubas, she's still entitled to mizonos, for example, and she has years and years available to her to wait to collect the ksuba. So as long as there's no tifgoim, then she's not yet ready to collect it, therefore it's not something that's going to be subject to Shemitah yet. Shemitah is only for loans that are ready to be collected. So that helps with that. And Tiskoif accomplishes that. Tiskoif accomplishes it's now turned into a loan, which now, especially Tosfos talks about the idea that Shemitah's Kesafim really only applies to loans in principle. It doesn't apply to other kinds of debts. So therefore, Rav says you need both things in order for it to be subject to Shemitah. Shmuel says you only need one of two. Either that she was pogamit or that she made it into a loan. It doesn't have to be both. And again, Tanya Kapitza. Like it's been stood up as a new kind of loan, Tanya Kapitza Rav, Tanya Kapitza Shmuel. Again, we have a braisa like what Rav says and a braisa like what Shmuel says. Tanya Kapitza Rav, the braisa says, Me'emus ha'ksuba m'shametes, at what point is a ksuba subject to Shemitah, that it'll be cancelled by Shemitah, m'shetifka and b'tizko. If she's pogim by having some, by collecting some of it, and tizko by turning it into a loan, if pogma will be zokva will be pogma, if she only does one and not the other, ain't a mishametes, and it does not get subject to Shemitah, it's not cancelled by Shemitah, achetifka and b'tizko, if she actually needs to do both things. That's the braisa according to Rav. Tanya Kapitza Shmuel, oynes, the payment that an onus has to pay, which we learned about in Ksuba, so you have to pay someone who's onus who rapes a naira b'sula, has to pay her, what is it, 100, has to pay her 100 zuz, plus the fact that he's obligated to marry her unless she or her father don't want, means that we're allowed to divorce her. So the onus, or knas, and the knas that's paid, Tosfos explains that the knas over here was talking about the Rashi and Tosfos both say that it means the knas of a Motzi Shemra, we also learned about in Ksubas, where he claims that his wife was Mizana before, was Mizana during the Erusin, and it turns out that he's a liar, that they made him a liar.
So either she has to be raped, or she has to be...
Or defamed. Pitui, or the third case that we learned about in Ksubas over there, where a man seduces a Naira B'sula, and then the penalty is he either has to pay her 50, either has to pay her 50 Sloyim, or he has to marry her and give her a Ksubas. Onus is 100, I think, isn't it? No, you're right, yes. You're right, Moshe Shemra is 100, Onus is 50, you're right. Okay, sorry. Anyway, so those three, Uksuba Sisha and also Uksuba, Shazok from the Milva, if you turn them into a Milva, in other words, if you said I'm not just basing myself on the fact that you're chayiv to me, I'm actually turning it into the equivalent of a loan, Mishamtin, and they're all subject to Shemitah, Vimlame and Mishamtin, and if not then Shemitah does not take effect. At what point does this zekifa? At what point is it considered a loan? At the point when they actually went to court. So this is the machlokas. What it means? Does it mean when the dayanim said the first time around that it has to be paid, or does it mean when he took him to court afterwards and the first time when Beis Din said he has to pay, there's no question. At that point it's still a knas or what have you. Is it though? This is the Rosh and the Rash and other Rishonim talk about. Is it Mishat Hamad Abedin means that she went to court to actually collect it, or is it when the second Beis Din decided, yes, you know what, you still owe that money, go pay it.
Either way,
whatever one or the other of those is considered the Zekif of Bemilva. Yeah. So therefore, so that Braita goes according to Shmuel, where we see that Zok from Bemilva is enough for Shemitah to cancel it, and therefore you need a principle.
All this tiny kavos,
it could mean either way, I guess. It could mean either way. It could be that Rav and Shmuel knew of these respective braises and just...
Probably.
Not necessarily. I mean, the Amoraim weren't expected to know all the braises. The Tosfos Rid points out over here, also the Gemara is leaving it unresolved who the halacha is like. In this case, the Tosfos Rid says, fine, we would follow the usual rule that when it comes to Dinim Mominus, the halacha is like Shmuel. Therefore, the halacha would be like Shmuel. And indeed, that's the Tzak halacha. Another din, Omer Shmuel.
Is there one or the other?
Amashmur, ksuba k'maisa Beis Din Damya. A ksuba is considered like a maisa Beis Din. It's considered like a document that was officially drawn up by Beis Din. Which means, ma maisa Beis Din nechtovim b'yem nechtovim b'alayla, just like a maisa Beis Din, which is, you're writing out a psach din, that Reuven owes Shimon X amount of money. So that can be nechtovim b'yem nechtovim b'alayla. It can be written by day and signed the following night. A ksuba nechtovim b'yem nechtovim b'alayla. So also a ksuba can be written by day and signed the following night. A get actually is a machlokas among the Rishonim, is a get the same. I mean, our Mishnah said that if it's written by day and signed the following night, it's possible actually, we said. But the Gemara is going to mention over here a distinction whether Asuk and Ba'is are Inyan or not. The Rishonim have a question. This exception that we're going to say as far as Suba, does it also apply to Gittin? Okay. Anyway. And in fact, here's an example. Subasti de Rabchia Barav, Ichtu Vayem, Ichtu Malayla. Ichtu Vayem, Ichtu Malayla. Rabchia Barav, Suba, when he got married, was written by day and signed the following night. Have a Rab Hasan Balayam Alu Vlaymidi. And Rab was there with his own son's wedding. And he didn't say that. He didn't object to anything. Does that mean the Gemara says Leimach Shmuel severely? Does that mean that Rav agrees with Shmuel? We only said that Shmuel says this thing. Does that mean Rav agrees with him also? The answer is not necessarily, because of Sukkin Ba'is the Inyan Havu. You could say that they were... That's what we're dealing with. Wait. Sukkin Ba'is the Inyan. Wait, listen. Sukkin Ba'is the Inyan Havu. They were involved in this whole matter. So... Therefore, Rashi says this would be kosher even by other shtaris. Even though we said in the Mishnah that other shtaris, leaving aside a get for a second, again, a get is a whole other question, but other shtaris, let's say, normally we say if a shtar is written and dated on a certain day and signed the following night, it would be possible, because when does the shibud begin? Does it begin that day or does it begin the next day? If asukin ba'os the Indian, if they're involved in the same matter, then, meaning, in other words, they're in the process of getting it written and getting it signed. They're in the process of getting the edim there to sign it. And meanwhile, it gets to be night. That's okay.
So what date you put if it's signed?
So you still put the date that it was written by day. That's the point. It's still considered. Tosfos says because in that case, if a kala, again, it has a coil, people know that since the edim were all ready to sign, and just for whatever reason the pen ran out of ink or whatever, they didn't manage to sign until nightfall. Already they know that it actually took place by
during the day.
During the day.
So the date is during the day.
Yeah. And Tanya, as in fact we learn in a bright, so Amar Avolaz of Reb Tzadik, Lo Shonu El Shchein Asukin Barzini, in this that we say that a shtar is possible if it's signed the night after it was written, is only when they're not Oskin Barzini, Aval Asukin Barzini, but if they're involved in the same thing, which again, you know, Rashi and Tosfos are both saying, the Edom are all ready to sign, but so actually what it is not that they have to round up the Edom or the pen ran out of ink or whatever. The Edom are all ready to sign by day, but the sofer is still busy writing the shtar. So it so happens, by the time he finished writing the shtar and they were able to sign, it's night. But that's a sukkin by Osinian. They were involved in the whole writing and signing process all went from the day into the night.
So what happens if they were writing it the day before, and then there's a whole day that interrupts and then they sign it at night?
No, that would be a problem. That's not a sukkin by Osinian.
No.
So we said in the mission, if it was written by night and signed during the following day, that's fine. It's still the same calendar date. It's still the same calendar date in Halacha. But here we're talking about the other way around. So Abel Asukin, but it's Indian kosher. If they're still involved in the same...
From the time of Ksuba.
Which actually, in connection with the Ksuba, actually, first of all, Tosfos points out that there were places in those times where they used to write a Ksuba on Erev Shabbos and sign it Matzah Shabbos. So Tosfos says that would be a problem. That would be a problem, actually, because that's much more than 24 hours after. However, Tosfos also says that since a ksuba often includes a kinyan in it, or ksubas nowadays all have at the bottom a kanina that we made a kinyan suder,
right,
then therefore that's not a problem. Then you just go according to the date of the kinyan, and that date can be written in the shtar. Because you have two different issues. If I still can buy the kinyan, then it doesn't matter whether there's a kinyan or not. If it's not a sukkin ba'os ha'inyan, then Tosfos is saying, if there was a kinyan, that also helps. You can go according to the date of the kinyan, you can ignore the date when it was actually signed. Having said that, though, there still is. The fact that we try to have that a chuppah takes place still by day rather than by night is to avoid this whole issue. It is to avoid the situation that you're going to have it written on one day and signed the next day, and you're going to have all kinds of questions when the ksuba actually takes effect.
Even with a Kenyan.
So this is even with a Kenyan. So this is why we try to make sure that the chuppah takes place. Banish marshals could be a suffix, but that's why you try to do a chuppah before banish marshals.
Before
Kenyan, yeah.
Before nighttime, and then the chuppah is at night.
Right. It's on
that's
a
point.
It's on a minhag to do it before Kenyan.
Generally speaking, it is. There are always exceptions. Bar 11 has actually a pamphlet about this. Shidduchim in a Surin Bahalacha, a thin book. Yeah, he discusses this issue at the end of it. In principle, based on what the Gemara is saying over here about a sukkah and both the Indian and what Tosfos is saying about the Kenyan, in principle it's not a problem. But another way of looking at it, or Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about it where he said that actually it still could be, right? It still could be a problem, and therefore better you should avoid it. There's also one of the Rishonim, I don't remember now which one, Mordechai maybe points out, a sukkah b'yisinian means that you're actually involved with the writing and signing of the ksuba. A sukkah b'yisinian does not include, for example, that you're dealing with making the chuppah. That's not called a sukkah b'yisinian.
Right.
Okay. We said in the Mishnah of Reb Shimon Machshir that if you have the get is written on one day and signed on the next night, Reb Shimon says it's kosher. Amar Rav, on my time is Reb Shimon, what's Reb Shimon's reasoning? He holds kibbutz shenot of ein olakasha. As soon as the husband has decided that he's going to divorce his wife, shuvah in the peiros, and he doesn't get peiros anymore. Therefore, it doesn't matter when it was signed. This we talked about yesterday. That it doesn't matter if it was signed afterwards, if it was signed the next day, or even a couple of days later. He still you go according to the date that's written in the shtar, which is when he decided, which is when he made up his mind to divorce her. And at that point, he has no more peiros.
Could be written the day after he decided to divorce her.
The point is, though, that at least you, so fine, but in that case, then fine. You can't write the date when he decided to. You have to write the date when it's actually written.
So it's not the effect of the peiros is not when he intended to divorce her, but when the ksiva starts.
Fine, but look, I mean, those two things usually go together. Fine, I mean, you know.
They usually go together.
Okay, so.
They don't necessarily, but okay.
So therefore, if she wants to claim the peiros from the time the get was written, Until then, she's able to. She could theoretically try to before that. She's not going to have any proof. I was actually going to prove that you can't prove what's in a person's mind. But okay, yeah. Okay. Shlokish. Loichich shir Reb Shimon elal alter. However, Reb Shlokish says Reb Shimon is only machshir if it was right away. Meaning that like the case in our Mishnah, it was written by day and signed the following night. How about mekanda? That's sort of yomim loy, but not, for example, if it was 10 days later.
Okay.
Let's get through the Gemara and then we'll see. Chashin and Shemapius, because in that case we have to be concerned that during those 10 days he may have been Mephias, so he may have made up with her. And what happens if he made up with her? So Rashi says we're going to be back to the old Get Yashin problem. They may have been in Yichud together, which Yichud can lead to Bia, and then you have the whole Get Yashin problem where we said that once they're in Yichud, the Get is possible. Tosfos disagrees with that. They say not necessarily does peers necessarily involve that there's going to be yichud.
Peers means that he
reconciled with her. Tosfos first of all talks about the idea that when you have, for example, a get that comes from a din of a yam, or the case before that we had where you gave a get to a third party. Okay, usually, you know, here the get's not even signed yet. Here the get's not even signed yet, there's more of a possibility that he's Mephias her and then passes the get. But if it's already signed, if he already went to the trouble of signing it, it's less likely that he's there. However, anyway, Tosfos disagrees on the basic concept that Shem Apias means therefore that it may become a get Yashan, because based on a Gemara later on in the Masechta, which implies that those are two separate things. So therefore, Tosfos explains that, no, with Pius, the problem is that he may have been mevatel the get. He may have verbally said that this get that I previously wrote is bottle. I don't want to use it anymore. In front of Adam. Now he can't reuse it. That's the thing. So we say that if you have the 10 days, let's say, or whatever, any number of days between the writing and the signing of the get, then there's more of a possibility, Shem Pius, that during that time he may have made up with her and therefore said, you know what, I'm mevatel this get. And now it can't be reused.
So Adam is a call.
I don't know, actually, if being vatal to get requires aid, I'm not sure about that, but maybe not. Okay, but even if yes, I mean, you know, aid him on something, aid him who witnessed something, there's not as much of a coil as when they sign something. You know, this is the difference between Milval Pen and Milval Bashtar, for example. Yeah. Okay. So say, Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Rabbi Yechanan says, no, after the Mikan Vada Sarayom, no, it could even be 10 days later. Im Issa de Pius, call it Issa de Milsa, because exactly that, if it was Mephias, sir, people will know about it. Now Rashi explains how will people know about it, because Rashi explains an interesting thing. What does it mean? We're assuming that the husband and wife were fighting, Therefore, all the neighbors know that they're not getting along. Now, all of a sudden, they hear everything's quiet over there. So they're going to figure, not necessarily, but at least they see that they're going to have reason to think that they're going to have good reason to think that he actually made up with her. Which, again, according to Rashi, might be the problem of Yichud and therefore get Yashin, and according to Tosis, might be the problem of being Mevatel again. Now, Mevatel beget, and again, and therefore that would make it possible to use that
word. What's the problem?
It's not so much that being mevatel to get will passel it per se. It's a problem really, and it's not even a problem that he may have been mevatel it. It's more that it'll give the husband an opening, an opportunity to be motzi laz, to start questioning the validity of the get, to claim I was mevatel it. So if it's right away, if it's from the day to the night, the Shlok are saying, and there's not really any time for that, there's no reason to think that in that shorter time he was Mevatelet, so if he says it was Mevatelet, we'll tell him go away. But if it was 10 days or whatever number of days in between, then there's more of a chance of that.
And then?
So then you have a problem. Later on, when she tries to use that get to remarry, the husband is going to come along and say, wait a minute, this is a possible get, that was Mevatelet. That's Tosfos' explanation. So why is Pesach saying 10 days, by the way? The Rosh Hash says, because... Rosh Lachish said miles, Rabbi Yochanan says 10 days. Yeah. But why did Rosh Lachish mention 10 days, and why does Rabbi Yochanan say that even 10 days later, according to Rabbi Shimon, is good? Why if it's 10 days? So the Rosh Hash says, because 10 days is the amount of time, sometimes, that it may take a person to regret what they did. That is why you have a Seder Simei Teruva.
In the best of cases, it's 20 days.
Fine.
So
he's saying that. No, so 2 days is also no good, but he means only La Alter, only if it's right away, but not then.
Okay.
Okay, Itmar. Now they had another discussion. What if somebody says to 10 people, write a get for my wife? It means then that it's sort of like he's making a t'nai, that all 10 of them have to be involved. So how do we do that? It means
saying that they have to give it to
one. No, he said write a get. That means, on the face of it, it means that he wants all of them to be involved in the writing. That's what. So what does it mean? It can't mean writing. It must mean signing. It means two of them are going to sign as the actual edim of the get. The other 8 are only signing over there because of the t'nai. Now why would he make such a t'nai anyway? So Rabbi Yochanan says, let's say, for example, you have this husband really doesn't like his soon-to-be ex-wife. He wants her to be publicly embarrassed. He wants her to be really, everybody should know that he's divorcing her. So therefore, he doesn't just want the ordinary 2 edim signing it. He wants 10 edim signing it. But only 2 of them are doing it as real edim. The other 8 are really only in order for the t'nai to be niskayim, because if you make a t'nai and a get, then the t'nai has to be niskayim. But if Rish Lakish on a kulam mishum edim, Rish Lakish says no, all of them are actually signing in the capacity of edim. So, what's the case that we're talking about? Are we talking about that he just said to 10 people?
The t'nai was that all of them signed it.
According
to the 8 edim.
The 10 edim, according to Rish Lakish, when he says to 10 people, write the get, he means that he wants all 10 of them to be actual edim.
Otherwise, it's not good.
Well, the fact is all 10 of them are signing anyway. We're going to talk in a minute, where the Gemara is going to talk in a few lines what the nafka minute between them is. But wait. First of all, we have to ask, hey, chidomi, what's the case? Are we talking about where there were 10 people standing in the room, and he said collectively to them, kiss will get the ishti, but without saying the word kulchem, all of you? What's the problem? We learn later on in the Masechta, we quoted it briefly a few days ago. If somebody says to 10 people, write a get for my wife, you don't need all 10 of them involved. When one person writes it, 2 people sign it, and the other 7 don't have to have anything to do with it. Because he didn't say kulchem. He was addressing the room collectively. Some people in this room should write a get and sign it and deliver it to my wife. But it doesn't have to be all 10.
Without counting them.
Ella d'amalo kulchem. So obviously we must be talking about that he actually used the word kulchem, which means therefore that he's bedavka being machmir. It's not a get unless all 10 of them are involved. Well then, my benayim. So what's the practical difference? Either way, according to the Yeshman or the Shlokish, all 10 of them are signing at the bottom of the get. So who cares whether they're doing it as edim or as part of the tonight? The answer is ikah benayu. There can be a difference between them. The chosim beit shrei minayu b'yomei. This is how this is relevant to our story over here. That two of them sign on that same day. The inoch mikan v'adasar yomim, and the rest of them sign sometime during the next 10 days. So, according to the opinion that it's only the signing of Rabbi Yochanan's idea, that they're only signing because of the Tanai, then fine. Because he said kochem, then fine. Then kosher. Then it's no problem. The two who are actually functioning as Edom signed on the day the get was given. Therefore, according to the Rabbanan and our Mishnah, who say that the get has to be signed on the same day it's written, fine, that was accomplished. The Tanai can be fulfilled afterwards. It can be fulfilled days later. And I don't even know in this case when we're saying mikan v'ad asar yamim, I don't know if the Gemara means to say that it dafka has to be within 10 days, before it could be any amount of time later. Because before we mentioned 10 days, because he might change his mind. He was not a matter of changing mind. Mandom Rishum Edim Possel. Because if you say Rish Lakish is saying that all 10 of them are considered Edim, it would be possible because 2 is not enough. Inami, or here's another possibility. Suppose you find that one of these 10 people is a relative of the husband or the wife, or is Possel Edis. Mandom Rishum Tanai Kosher. So if you say it's a matter of Tanai, no problem. The two who are the actual Edim are not related to anybody, and then they're not Pasulated. They can be the actual Edim. The other eight are just signing there because he wanted them to sign. Therefore, they don't affect the validity of the get. Laman and Dramam is from Edim Pasul, but if you say all 10 of them are Edim, then it's Pasul. Now, let's talk about a variation of that. What if among these 10, the first one, or the second one, is a Karev or Pasul? So the first or second aid, that's fine with it.
Whether the Karev signs first or signs...
Signs fifth or eighth or whatever, yeah. Yeah. Amrila kosher and amrila apostle. So there's two different versions among the Amoraim. Some say it's kosher in that case, and some say it's apostle.
If the
Karev or apostle signs first. Let's say all of them signed on the same day. So we dispose of that problem. But the problem... So one way of looking at it is that if you say it's a matter of Tanai, then if you say it's a matter, we have to be talking about rather. Sorry, Rashi says we have to be talking about within the opinion that says that it's mitzvah Tanai, Rish Lakish's opinion. But according to Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, because according to Rish Lakish's opinion, if all of them are signing as Edim, then of course, and no matter what order they were done in, it's going to be possible. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, which by the way, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan in general, in the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. And besides that, we have a general rule that when the Rishonim use, when the Gemara goes and starts analyzing one person's opinion, usually it means the halacha is like him. Here, we were analyzing within Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, then yeah. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, two of them are supposed to be Edim, the other eight are Mishum Tanai. So if the Karev of Apostle was signed first, one way of looking at it is, doesn't matter. You still have among those 10, two of them are Kosher Edus. Doesn't matter if they're signed fifth and sixth, let's say. We'll ignore all the other ones. We'll ignore all the other signatures.
But if it's a matter of
Tanai, then it would be fine. The Amri La Apostle, but another way of looking at it is that's possible.
What's that?
Another way of looking at it is that's possible. The first two signatures have to be valid signatures. The Amri La Kosher, because they say Tanai Hu. The ones who say it's Kosher say it because it's just a matter of Tanai, so it doesn't matter what order they're signed in. Amri La Apostle, the ones who say that's possible, because they're concerned Osi Lechlofa B'Shtaris Da'alma. Because it may be confused with regular shtaris. Namely, well, if you have a Apostle Laedos signed first or second, people are going to think that any shtar, a Karev or Apostle, can sign.
We said that the get does not look like shtaris.
No, but it's still the... First of all, it is. A get is a kind of shtar.
It is a kind of shtar, but we said previously the get doesn't...
No, on the contrary, that's why we said it. That's why we've been saying in all the discussions about b'fana nechtem, b'fana nechtem. That's why we said that you can't just say b'fana nechtem because also l'chlof b'kiyam shtaris. People are going to think that you can have only one person being a kiyam shtar when you need two. So no, in many ways, a get is for most purposes, a get looks like any regular shtar. So therefore, if you have a Karev apostle signed first, people are going to think that he signed as an actual aid. They're not going to realize he signed Mishum Tanai, because by no other shtar do you have such a thing. There's no other shtar where you can where you make a Tanai like that and you say, therefore, that 10 people end up having to sign the shtar. So therefore, they're going to think the first two are Mishum Aiders, and therefore, they're going to think that Karev and Mopsulim are Kosher Aiders. Tosafos gets into a bit of a discussion over here about we do find cases in Bava Basra involving where you have possible edim and actually later towards the end of our Masechta also that you have cases where you have possible edim where you have possible edim and nevertheless the get or the shtar is kosher. So one thing Tosafos points out is that in the case of a get, we learned a few days ago that the edim of a get all have to sign in each other's presence. So therefore, if you find a get that has two possible edus, so one possible edus and one kosher, or one or whatever, signed first, people are going to think, you know what, since we know all the edim have to be in each other's presence, they must have signed in the actual order which is written over here, therefore the first two are the actual edim, and therefore, there you go, kredim or psulim are kosher edus. They're not going to realize that the signatures may have been done out of order. Same principle that we talked about. Same principle that we talked about previously about edim kusim. That if the edim kusim is first, it may be a problem. Anyway.
So the problem is first, or this problem is
well, the problem is that since you see their names first, they're going to look like they're going to look like the actual edim. Yeah.
Even if they sign first. If another sign first, well, if they
fourth on the line, but they signed that line first.
If you have, let's say, the first two people who signed on the fourth and fifth lines, let's say, and they left the three lines blank, and then one of the clergymen of Sulem came and signed the first, then and then you have a problem. Yeah.
It's a problem because people will think that
he was first. Exactly.
It's not really a problem. If we didn't have that issue, then the get would be
kosher. Fine, then it would be kosher, but
people might
question. Well, that's right. Okay. So Gemara tells a case. Hahu da'amalahu la'asara kitz will get nishti. There was an actual case where somebody said to 10... There was an actual case where somebody said to 10 people, write a get for my wife. And obviously he must have said kulchem, like we said before. So Chosim Beit Shrei Minayu B'Yomei, so two of them signed on that day. The Inuch Mikan Ba'Asara Yomim, and the rest of them signed sometime within the next 10 days. Also, Lakamei De Rabbi Shimon Levi. So they brought the case to Rabbi Shimon Levi. Is this a kosher again? Again, according to Rabbi Yochanan, before it would be kosher. How does he hold? That's the question. Does he hold like Rabbi Yochanan or like Shlakish? Amalei, he says to them, Kedai Rabbi Shimon Lismachol B'Shasat Chak. Rabbi Shimon is worthy enough to rely on him in a Shasat Chak. This person, for Rashi, gives two examples of Shasat Chak. One is, for example, the husband already left on a trip, so we can't easily bring him back to write a new to have a new get written. Or another possibility is she already remarried using this get, so you don't want to break up her second marriage unnecessarily.
What do you mean Kedai?
In other words, usually we would pass him like a Chak. But given that we have the opinion of Rav Shimon that it's valid, according to Rav Yochanan's understanding, like we said before, that it's valid according to Rav Shimon, even if it was signed sometime in the next 10 days, then therefore, fine, we can get away with relying on Rav Shimon b'shasav tzach. Because that's the thing, b'shasav tzach, you're able to rely on a minority opinion.
So in these 10 days, she got married.
I guess. No. Hold on. The get was written on Rosh Chodesh Tevis. Ches Tevis, within the next 10 days, the rest of the Edim sign. They delivered her the get later in Tevis, sometime at the end of the month. She waited 3 months from there, or even 3 months from Shach Nisina, like we learned before. And then in Nisan she's getting married. The question is if the get is kosher yet. Didn't Rish Lakish say before that Rish Shimon says it's kosher only if the signatures were immediately after, the night after the writing, but not during the next 10 days? The answer is by he could have been like, fine, you could say Rabbi Shimon Levi holds in that regard like Rabbi Yechanan. He understands the machlokas, not Shasat Chak, he understands the machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah the way Rabbi Yechanan understands it. That the Chachamim are saying it has to be written and signed on the same day, and Rabbi Shimon says it can be signed 10 days later. Okay, but if you're going like Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that only two of them are because of Edim and the other eight are and the other eight are because of Tanai? So why do you need to say that Kedai Rav Shimon was Mechalov? According to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of it, you could just as well say that it's valid according to the Chachamim as well. Because ultimately you have two of them. No, not even Shasat Chak. Forget Chatzetzchak. Rabbi Yochanan had said that out of these 10 people, only two of them are signing in the capacity of Eidim.
Right.
The other eight is just Mishum Tanai.
Right.
And therefore, even according to Rabbanan, you could wait within 10 days, you could do it within 10 days.
Right.
Or within any number of days.
Right.
So why is Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi having to say that only because the Chatzetzchak are we following Rabbi Shimon?
Right.
If he follows Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Machlokas of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, then he should, which we said, he
right.
follows Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of it, then he should be saying that it's kosher no matter what. You don't even need Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The answer is Rahi Kirish Lakish Thrila, yes, but it, as far as that detail goes, he holds like Rish Lakish. In other words, we have two different machloikas in. We have two different unrelated machloikas in of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Number one is, does Rabbi Shimon allow the signatures, the original two signatures, to take place within 10 days or only the night after? And number two, if you have 10 people signing the get, are they all Edom or two of them Edom and eight Mishum tonight? So Rabbi Shimon Levi himself, being an Amora, can hold like one of them in one thing and like the other one in the other thing.
Right.
Yeah,
he could choose
because those two machlokas are not interdependent. You have when we learned the Gemara mentioned in various places in Eruvin and some other places. Sometimes you have two machlokas in between the same authorities that are interdependent. An example is a machlokas
Hashem.
Then you have to hold according to both, according to one or the other consistently. The Gemara gives an example over there. The Gemara gives over there an example over there that has to do with Hilchos Tshreifas and Hilchos Tumah Vatara. That how much of a skull has to be learned about another, actually. How much of a skull has to be missing for it to not be Makabel Tumah? You have two different sizes that the Shammah and the Sibyl give. And then you have
Gemara.
We learned it in another. The Gemara also mentions it in Eruvin. And then you also have a machlokas about how much of it has to be missing for an animal to be considered tshefa. So again, you have the same figures. So you can't be machmir in one and in the other. You can't be makel in one and the other. You got to be consistent. But here it's two different unrelated machlokas, and therefore Rabbi Shimon Levi can pick and choose and say like the Yechanan in one of them and like Rish Lakish in the other. Generally, though, again, the halacha usually is like Rabbi Yochanan against Rish Lakish in all cases. So in the case of the machlokas and the Mishnah between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, and the halacha is like the Chachamim anyway. And in the case of the second machlokas, the halacha is also like Rabbi Yochanan. Shnai Mishum Edom Mekol Mishum Tanai. The other eight are only signing Mishum Tanai, and therefore they could be signing much later than the other eight.